Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with guest expert Pete Fusco. He's a retired commercial pilot, journalist, and author of The Crowd Pleasers, a history of airshow misfortunes from 1910 to the present. And make sure to look out for his upcoming book, The Grave Stompers. Let's hear what he has to say about the Ramstein airshow disaster. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing just fine. even though I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm doing fine at it. Yeah.
You and the rest of us. So in your book description, you say that the 1910s, all flights were air shows. Can you tell us what these early air shows were like?
Well, let me go back to the Wright brothers.
Let's take it back.
They were very dour. They were not party guys. They never dreamed that their invention, the airplane, would ever be used as entertainment. They just did not. And they were appalled by it. Orville Wright, early on, within 8 or 10 years, he is quoted as saying that the greatest danger in aviation was the grandstand. Okay. And he was right because he immediately saw that these exhibition pilots, they formed immediately. Eventually he had his own, the Wright brothers had their own exhibition team also to sell airplanes. And people got bored with just watching them fly back and forth. They wanted to see loops, rolls, death dives. That was the big thing, where you dove at the crowd and pulled up as low as you dared. So, yeah, air shows were inevitable.
Yeah, that sounds like a really bad idea.
Well, just about the whole concept of air shows, even though, like I said, I was a pilot all my life. I flew for the airlines. I flew air freight. I flew a lot of junk. You name it. It was a pilot for most of my life, and also a newspaper reporter. So I kind of shared your business for the Dayton Daily News, which is once was a great newspaper. Cox Empire was the flagship, is the flagship. And it has fallen on some hard times, like all newspapers. That's not in this. That's not doing us any good here, though. So what was the question? I already forgot.
Well, I was wondering, when did this modern day concept of air shows start? And how did it evolve from what it used to be?
Well, okay. Good question. It started right away, as I've said.
Oh.
The first time a couple of people got in airplanes, people. And when this, I'll tell you when it started. When pilots realized that people would pay to watch them fly. Now you had the birth of air shows. That the Wright brothers flew the first time in 1903. By 1908 or 1909, they were selling their airplanes. People could buy one. And they've gone all over the world, and people were paying to watch exhibitions. And people were dying in those exhibitions. What made it dangerous, as far as we're discussing Ramstein here, the tragedy in 1988 where all those people were killed. What made it dangerous, it was always dangerous for the pilots and the wing walkers and the early parachutists. What made it dangerous for the people in the grandstand with this, as airplanes got bigger, faster, heavier, and jet powered. And now the two had reached critical mass. That was early on by the 60s. When airplanes crashed, they would kill someone in the audience.
Wow.
And that's where it eventually led to Ramstein. And the greatest one of all, I shouldn't say greatest, the biggest, largest loss of life was a few years later, in 2003, I believe it was in Syncliv, the Ukraine. That was the one that holds the record.
So before we dive in to Ramstein, can you briefly talk about the purpose of air shows nowadays, and how does the military use them for their benefit?
Well, another excellent question. The purpose of the military, well, the purpose of regular air shows is commerce, huh? People are willing to pay. By God, someone will do it. Military. From the beginning, and they started in the 20s and 30s, but after the Second World War in the 50s, 60s, it was for, they claimed it was for recruitment purposes. In this country, the Navy's Blue Angels, they formed to bring, people would see it at an air show. Presumably, they'd want to join the Navy on Monday morning.
Mm.
Same way with the Air Force, the Thunderbirds. So I would say that in the, and public relations, you know.
Right. So in terms of popularity, how popular were these flu tags at Ramstein? And how big was the crowd on August? 300
in Ramstein. I've heard Ramstein and Ramstein. I think you're correct. Ramstein Air Force Base in West Germany. There were 300,000 people there, mostly from West Germany, but from all over Europe, but those that could get in, and West Germany was open. Those that could, a lot of Americans, and of course it was an American Air Force base. So it was one of the larger crowds, I'm going to say, at 300,000.
So it was at the height of its popularity almost.
Yeah, probably. Yes, good point. Back then, our own two teams, using them as a guide, the Blue Angels and the Air Force Thunderbirds, they did things then they don't do now. They fly a little higher now. Oh. I don't even know if they have as many airplanes. I could be wrong on that. And back then, I'm not going to say they took more chances. They were a little more exciting, let's just put it that way. A little lower, a little closer, and so forth, you know.
Less regulated.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through what happened in those final moments before the disaster occurred? You know, it's the final act. The Freccia Tricolore is underway. What happens next?
Okay, Frecce Tricolore, which is the three colored arrows, red, white, and green, the colors of Italy. I'm Italian. Delgado, you may have some Italian. And
No, Italian, but Spanish heritage.
Oh, just the same.
Cuban.
Latins.
Yes.
Do everything with a flourish. Everything. Flamboyant. And the Italian aerobatic team, which was the Air Force, the Italian Air Force aerobatic team, three colored arrows, they were no exception. When everybody else was happy with four or five jets in their teams, they had 10. And they actually had an 11th if the occasion called for it. There probably never was an air, a military a jet team act like, and they exist today and they're still doing it. Rammstein did not slow them down very much. Wow. They changed a few things. And so they did this thing, the pierced heart. Okay. Whereas four airplanes on the left, trailing the green and the red and the white and the five airplanes on the right, and rode in smoke a big heart. They and then the one, the soloist, they all have a soloist, he pierced the heart. Well, he pierced it, and as they did then, and it always without any incident, towards the crowd. So here he came screaming out of the sky, going through this big heart-shaped smoke thing with all these airplanes. I mean, there were nine other airplanes, all traveling, I'm guessing, probably 260, 270 knots, somewhere around that, maybe less. He pierced it, coming at the crowd. Well, he hit the two bottom airplanes. There was a collision. And the airplane went into the crowd, pieces of all three, but mostly the lead aircraft, the soloist. He killed most of the people. The jet fuel, which is basically lamp oil, creates a fireball when it's got some forward motion and all that. It became a big ball of fire, large, with a life of its own that rolled into the crowd. That's why it burned many, many people. I think 70 were killed, 67 were killed, three pilots and an American pilot who was a helicopter pilot. A piece of the airplane hit him. He was burned badly, brought to the United States, died right here in Texas at one of the military hospitals of his burns. And he wouldn't do it. He was just standing. He was another bystander. So that's basically, I'm sure there is a lot more to it. You could analyze it. I am not, by way of a disclaimer here, a little late, I'm not an expert. Rebecca, I'm not an expert.
I'm not an expert either. You're more expert than I am, trust me.
If an expert could not have read, I didn't plug my book yet, The Crowd Pleaser, published in New York by Skyhorse. And you want to hear the company I'm in? Skyhorse published Michael Cohen's book, Roger Stone's book, and Woody Allen's. So I'm in the company of miscreants, and I love it. Yeah. So, the crowd pleaser, you can get it. I wrote the book, and I think it's a pretty good book, very good book, because I'm not an expert. An expert could not have written that book. He would have got too technical and too stupid, and nobody would have read it. I tried to see. I didn't want it to be a chronology of gore and, some grisly crap. And that's what did cause it. The great aviation writer, Ernie Gahn, said, fate is the hunter. Everybody knows that now. Famous. Can you say bullshit in a podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is total bullshit. Fate is not the hunter. It never was. Fate stands by and watches. They're the hunters, Rebecca, and especially in aviation and in everything else. Stupidity, arrogance, presumptuousness. And that's it. Arrogance and stupidity, frankly, has caused more accidents at begin with the Titanic going way back. I mean, whatever. And that's what caused, frankly, that that disaster at Ramstein, where all those poor people were killed. And now add to that, I'm going to mention this. It was a U.S. military base, right?
Correct.
They knew the crash had occurred. They would not allow civilian ambulances into the air onto the airfield. Okay. Yeah, they held them up.
What is up with that?
Because it was military. I was in the military, not for long, but I was there. And if you were ever in the military, you understand, because nobody in the military has any authority. It's the guy above him. Okay. Oh. Two sergeants with the same grade, two staff sergeants. The guy who has two more days as a staff sergeant is the guy with the authority. So the other guy will not do anything. These guards at the gate at Ramstein held up ambulances because they were not allowed on the base. Okay. While people were burning.
Unreal. Yeah.
Again, I tend to stray.
That's okay. Now I'm going to pull you back, and because I have some questions about the Freccia Tricolore. I read a Times article that came out shortly after the incident that said that they had a reputation for recklessness. Now, is
this
accurate?
They were Italians. We are flamboyant. Call it recklessness. Call it what you want. We are crowd pleasers. It's in our nature, everything we do. Come on, look at the history of Western culture. Who else could have built St. Peter's except Italians? Nobody. Okay. So, yeah, I know. I remember that article in the Times, a New York Times.
Yes,
Time
it was
magazine.
The Times. Yeah. Time magazine. Correct.
Time magazine. Yeah. And it said, yeah, recklessness. Well, his mind, you know, you're gonna come through at that speed in a jet to miss two other jets right at the crowd. Of course, that was reckless.
Yeah.
But it's never reckless until something happens, huh?
Right, right. If nothing happens, then it's just an incredible stunt.
Yes. You got away with it, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's the whole history of air shows and everything else.
Now, as a pilot yourself, I'm sure that you have a profound understanding of all of these systems and safety procedures in place to triple, quadruple, 100th check that things are okay.
I could go on and become the retired airline pilot persona and give you all that crap. No. In the airliners, yeah, we had backup systems. They do. I don't know about triple, but always a backup system.
Oh, wow. I was hoping there was maybe a quadruple or a...
I don't think so. But again, the new stuff, I flew some of it. It does everything for you, which is a kind of a big mistake. Also in the book, in another chapter, you tend to just sit there and look out the window. It's not like even 30 years ago when pilots had to know something.
Wow.
The airplanes do everything now because of the computers. So, yeah, was there a backup systems? Yes, on those little jets, but nothing that would have helped.
Oh.
The only backup system would have been a little more common sense. And, you know, the guy, I forget their names now, and I'm ashamed of myself, but the lead guy who caused the crash, who flew into the other two.
Nutarelli.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. And he tried to slow down. He dropped his landing gear when he knew he was going to hit.
Oh.
Didn't do any good. Might have caused the crash.
It might have slowed him.
You know?
Yeah. This might be a little strange, but have you heard about this Ramstein and Ustica conspiracy theory?
Oh, of course. I
tell us.
I like research.
Yes.
And it was not necessary. All the chapters of my books are only two or three pages. I did not want filler. I wanted substance. And I saw that. And yeah, the two guys on the bottom of the crash there, the ones he hit, they were both flying training in the area, the Tyrrhenian Sea, I'm not sure, where that airliner went down. It was a DC-9, and it came out of nowhere, crashed into the sea, killed 90 people. And they, of course, the conspiracy, nobody's as good with conspiracies as the Italians, too. We're leading that definitely there. And they, the conspiracy came right away. Oh, these two guys saw something. They know why that airliner crashed. So they had to be killed at an air show by another guy. I mean, come on.
It seems a little much.
Yeah. Well, all conspiracies do, but what fun would it be without them, huh?
Right. So we thought we'd throw that in there. Now, Pete, finally, I have to ask, at the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or a thing, it can be a concept that you think is to blame for the Rammstein air show disaster, who or what would that be?
Well, of course, it would be, was it Nutarelli?
Yes.
He would be, he's the one they blame because his timing, he knew where those two airplanes were going to be at the bottom of the heart. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They were completed. They were there. He knew where they were going to be. They didn't know where he was going to be. And I've read a little about it. Yeah, they blame it on him that his timing was just wrong. He should have pulled up or done whatever. You know, they were only 150 feet off the ground, too. So there was no chance of going under. He could have maybe pulled up. So that he's the one that takes the blame. But you got to give the 70 years of air shows before him. They got the blame belongs to a lot of different people. He was just doing what was expected in 1988.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So all the predecessors in a way.
Yes. I mean, it's what led up to it. And then things really didn't change until after, and I know I'm saying this wrong, Tsinkliv air show in the Ukraine in 2003, Ukraine, where they killed 20 or 30 more, about 100 people killed and hundreds injured.
It's they were baffling too big and tragic that happened afterward.
Yeah, exactly. They should have changed. I think the Italian team from that day on, they didn't quit doing the pierced heart. They just did it away from the crowd.
Oh.
And if they had been, and here's another one of the sad part. People at that show, they wouldn't have given a damn whether that airplane was coming at them or going away from them. They wouldn't have remembered it on the way home. They couldn't have told you which direction it was headed. I've seen a lot of air shows, been around a lot. I've known a lot of air show pilots. Here's the truth. Air show pilots do those things, they do that for themselves.
Wow.
Not necessarily for the crowd. Okay. That just felt better to that Italian team that this, we're going to do it with, as Ty said, full recklessness. We're going to go at them. We're going to make as exciting as possible. Those people would not have cared. Uh-oh, is there my phone?
That's the perfect transition.
Yeah.
Pete,
yeah,
I got to thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
I think so. It was a great pleasure talking to you. I'll tell you that. I really believe that. I survived it, I guess. I hope you got what you paid for.
You sure did. We sure did.
Yeah,
we got that and much more. Thank you so much.
That is what. Well, okay. Thank everybody. And here, I'm going to leave you with a couple thoughts. You want it in the future? We need to talk about two more things, whether you talk about them with me or a real expert. The 1973 Paris Air Show.
Okay.
Where the the Russians brought the Concordsky, which was their ripoff of the Concorde. The Concorde showed up, made a nice little pass, didn't hurt anyone. The Concorde, the Russian crew, who they may be the only people more flamboyant than the Italians, they pulled the Concorde apart. They killed people at the, they destroyed it right in front of the crowd. There were people killed in that disaster. 1973 Paris Air Show. Well worth the
I will put that on
into.
Our list.
Yeah, damn it. I'm sorry.
It's perfect. It's
yeah,
perfect.
Well, talking to me, yeah, Looney Tunes would be perfect.
We're gonna have to do another episode asking you why your Looney Tunes is your telephone ring.
Because it's the only one I can hear. It's nice and loud. Too many years of noise.
That's yeah. So,
okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Are delightful.
You're a delight. We're going to be speaking to you soon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, Alarmy.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
I'm first of all, Pete was a wonderful guest.
He was great. He's giving Julian, who he had on for the Dodo Bird, a run for his money as my favorite guest expert.
And I love how he kept saying he wasn't a guest. He wasn't an expert, where clearly he is an expert in aviation.
Well, he's an expert, maybe as much as we're historians. Maybe it's like, you know what?
No, he's more of an expert than we're historians.
He qualified it with, I like research. This is a guy who used to fly planes, who liked research.
Yeah.
Great personality, great ringtone. We like the whole package.
Yeah. A+ all around. And he made some great points.
Absolutely.
Now, just to remind everyone, we ended up sending the Frecce Tricolore to jail, and we slapped the fetishizing of fetishizing of technology of warfare.
Now, I feel good about sending the Frecce Tricolori to the alarmist jail for this one, because what, you know, the things he said where they didn't need to pierce the heart toward the audience, you know, that was all a choice that they made as a team as to what the stunt was going to be. I'm assuming that they had planned that together for the soloist to come toward the audience, vice versa, because, I'm sure it wasn't like a last minute decision that the soloist made to go right. toward the audience.
So, I don't know. Do they have a choreographer or something? Or is it, you know, I'm sure, don't they have like a team leader who maybe plans the stunts?
Yeah. Well, they definitely had someone calling the stunts on the ground, like we talked about on the episode. So it was definitely a planned situation. Whoever it was, everyone agreed to it.
Right. And I think, you know, sort of taking his point and sort of broadening it out a little bit, thinking about airplane in terms of entertainment, it's like he's 1,000% right. Nobody's in their car being like, holy cow, we were exactly 350 yards from that airplane. It's like if the airplane was twice as far away or three times as far away, people would still go home and be like, that was fun, because they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So you think about entertainment in those terms, and it starts to make you realize, like, yeah, there are certain things that there's not enough quality for the risk involved, and people would be just as happy being much safer, at a much safer distance.
Well, yeah, and like he said, it's more for the pilots, those sorts
exactly.
of stuff.
Right. Exactly, and it goes back to water shows.
I mentioned, what's wrong with a good old fashioned water show with some lights
and fun music? The possibilities are endless.
Well, it's also like the difference between, like, think of how popular professional wrestling is, like the WWE wrestling. And then there's also like a wing, and then they're like versus MMA, right? People who are like really putting their bodies in harm's way. And yet, like, you have a product over here, which is like professional wrestling, where everybody's in on it. It's totally fake. They still sort of do these stunts that are dangerous and people still do get hurt. And it's like the entertainment factor is just like,
it's way more controlled.
It's more controlled.
And it does
more
feel
fun.
Safer when you're watching, you know, WWE or you know, you're
we
just
still
like,
have
okay.
fun.
Yeah.
We still have fun.
And honestly, we might have even more fun because, you know, they stage all these like rivalries against one another.
I'm a huge Hulk Hogan fan ever since I was a
you
little
are?
Girl.
Yeah. He's since
yeah,
retired.
I loved him.
I don't know if you know that.
He's retired. He's gone through a lot. Since your Hulk Hogan fandom days.
Now, one other thing I think we need to talk about that Pete brought up, which was a great point, was Italian flamboyance.
Oh,
we
man.
Really slept on that during our episode.
And what I just want to say right now, if anybody is frustrated with the quality of my work as a fact checker here on The Alarmist, I can only blame my Italian flamboyance. And going forward, I might just blame all of my misgivings as my Italian flamboyance at work.
It is a good point. You know, we don't like to culturally stereotype, but, and I'm sure that there are Italians who are not flamboyant. They're out there. But there is some Italian flamboyance out there as well.
So what do you think, Rebecca, at the end of the day, do you think you want to change your verdict or do you think you want to stick with what we have?
I think that I do want to change the slap, and because I feel like the arrogance part is captured in the you know, sending the team to the alarmist jail. I do feel like the, you know, charging or the spectacle of air show as a stunt, I think could have caused it. And the way he put it was like, it's all of his predecessors, all of the pilot, you know, you can't really blame the group, you know, solely, because they're just doing what's been done for, you know, at that point, it was like 70 plus years. So I think I'm going to call it, I'm going to give air shows the big slap.
Okay.
Well, I mean, terrible. What a terrible disaster that occurred in 1988. So tragic and so needless, you know. And also, it's been nice to connect with Pete about it. So glad we got to speak to him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we have more air show disasters in our future.
Yeah, I love when a guest expert gives us a recommendation for a future episode.
I just want to update us, update the Alarmy on our goal of getting 100 new reviews by our 100th episode.
And how are we doing?
Okay, so we're not doing too bad. At the moment, we are approximately we've gotten 40 new reviews.
Wow.
Okay.
Which is great. And we are currently, the Ramstein episode was number 93. So there are 7 more episodes, but we need to get it by the, you know, before the 100th episode, which I think we can totally
do. We can do it.
So if you're still joy listening and you haven't rated or reviewed, please take a moment now and do so on Apple Podcasts, or if you rate and review outside of Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, screenshot and post it on Instagram or email it to us or however you want to get it to us, because we'll add it to the tally. And I'm just going to read a couple of reviews because they've been really fun to go through.
Okay, great.
Okay, this comes in from Sterance. So good, 5 stars. A true testament to base human greed, graft, and xenophobia. What else do you need? What else do you need? And then Monkey Boy says, 5 stars. I just love listening to this podcast. You should do an episode about the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, that's a good thing to put in your reviews. A request.
Absolutely. And then Crunky Mom says, okay, you called me out. I was a joy listener, fell in love with this podcast and binged through it. And now I curse you because 2 a week is not enough. Really love the fact that you are funny and I'm learning some tidbits of history too. I do share those tidbits with others and it makes me look smart and weird, because why does she know these weird tidbits? I enjoy the comradeship. Is that how you say that? Camaraderie, maybe comradeship of the 3 of you. Plus, you have great guests and experts. Here's to reaching your rate and review goal. Great podcast.
Wow. Thank you. And yeah, join the club. We all look weird when we bring up these topics in conversation.
Yeah, I know better than to do that, Crunky Mom. I keep my tidbits in my pocket and I just keep it light and current events.
I can't help myself. So yeah. Well, that's fun. And thank you to all who have rated and reviewed. And please, no more joy listening. We have to get these numbers up. It's the time for that joy listening is over. We're turning a corner and we got to make this the number one podcast in all of Apple's podcast history.
Yes.
I think we can do it.
Or otherwise, we might start dropping the P word, Patreon.
And the
paywall.
The paywall. You guys don't want to hear the paywall. No. Let me tell you, you don't.
No, I believe in our listeners. I think we're going to get there. And I'm very excited. Thank you so much for your support. And also, tune in next week, because we are going to discuss the Great Emu War.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.